can you begin to talk to God this morning? We are not gathered unto gods that have ears but cannot hear, neither are we gathered unto gods that have eyes but cannot see. We are gathered unto the living God, the one who was and who is to come. Just speak to him this morning, to speak to you, to speak to you in a language that you would understand. There's a word God has for each and every one of us this morning. Ask him that your heart should be a fertile ground for the word this morning. That those ancient words that strengthen the likes of Joseph, as those words are being spoken this morning from his throne of grace to strengthen you. Those ancient words that strengthen the likes of Daniel in a foreign land, as those words are being spoken this morning, it will give you strength. Father, this morning we humble ourselves before you this morning. As we are gathered in your sanctuary this morning, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you speak to us. You speak to each and every one of us in a language and in a manner that we would understand. Lord, we present ourselves before you this morning and we ask, Lord Jesus, that our hearts will be a fertile ground for your word. That at the end of the day, we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will also be the doers of your word. Lord Jesus, I hide myself behind the cross. I humble myself before you this morning and I ask that you speak through me to your people. That may every hardened heart be broken and may every broken heart be healed by the power of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen! Amen! Are we ready for the word this morning? So I really want to appreciate our pastor, Pastor Perry, and the elders of the church for giving me this opportunity to always speak before you all. I must confess it's not really an easy job, but I really want to appreciate the church. It's a privilege I don't take for granted. And I also want to appreciate each and every one of you. Can you just smile to someone beside you and say, welcome to church once more? Smile to someone beside you and say, welcome to church. You know, it was looking like it was going to rain this morning, but you made it here. Amen. You made it here, and so it's a privilege that we are gathered this morning. So briefly, I just want us to let's refresh our minds on our previous, character study. And one of our character studies, we started with a man called Gideon. We started with a man called Gideon, where we were asking ourselves, during that sermon that day, that why am I still at the winepress and how can I leave the winepress? We discovered that Gideon, despite being a man full of valor, he found himself hidden at where? The winepress. And the angel of the Lord met him that day and spoke to him and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And so that Sunday, one of the highlights we encouraged ourselves is that the modern day winepress could be fear. Your modern day winepress could be maybe trying to get the courage to move ahead with life. And so we asked ourselves that if I'm still in the winepress, what can I do to leave the winepress? And then we went further to do another character study where we studied about a man who is so significant to the spread of the gospel. And he's no other than the man called Stephen. And one of the highlights we saw in that character study was that Stephen, despite being faced with death, there was something Stephen did that up to today, wherever the gospel is being preached, the name of Stephen is being mentioned. Despite the fact that he was faced with death, Stephen still spoke truth to power. And one of the things we reminded ourselves that day is, are you crucified with Christ? When you say you are dead to the flesh, are you also crucified with Christ? we saw that Stephen, at that point when he was faced with the decision to either accept his stand for God or not, Stephen did not back down because he was already crucified with Christ. And so Paul said, it is no longer what I that lives, but who? Jesus Christ that lives in me. And then we went further to see another important character study. And that's the character of Noah. Amen. Noah. It was so important that we reminded ourselves of God's intervention to mankind to be saved. And one of the highlights of Noah's character study was that Noah was being called into the ark because of what God was inside the ark. So Noah trusted God. When God called Noah, he did not tell him the flood was going to end in this year or next year. God just called him, heal and ask for me, and then called him, invited him into the ark. So Noah trusted God and entered into the ark. And we saw God's divine protection for Noah and his families and all the animals that were in the ark with him. And so one of the questions we asked ourselves that day is, how prepared are we for the day of the Lord? How prepared are we for the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is at hand. It's closer than never. It's at hand. How prepared are we for that day of the Lord? The Bible says that eating and drinking until the flood came. So we are reminding ourselves even this morning as we look at a different character study to remember that the day of the Lord is at hand. Amen. So one thing I want to highlight in all of our character study is that every character we are sharing in the Bible points us to one man. And who is that man? It's Jesus. If you look at the character study of Gideon, if you look at the character study of Stephen, if you look at the character study of Noah, they all point us to one man. And who's that? Jesus. And his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for us. So today, let's go into our character study for today. We'll be studying a very important character in the Bible. Her name is Ruth. Now, if you look at the Bible, there are just two women in the Bible whose names were used as the names of the chapters in the Bible. And those two women are no other than Ruth. And who's the second one, church? Esther. There's something very special about this character. And so we can title this particular character study, The Journey to New Beginnings. So I would appreciate it, church, if you can look into your Bibles. Let's start this journey together. Ruth chapter 1. Can we all turn our Bibles to Ruth chapter 1? I want us to study the journey of Ruth from when she started her journey from Moab down to Bethlehem. So we'll read our key scripture, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Can we all read together? But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Can we read it together, church? Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. What a powerful statement Ruth made. What a powerful statement she made. But let's look at, before Ruth made this statement, there was something that happened before she came to the point where she made this statement. And so we'll look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Amen. So let me explain a little bit about this man called Elimelech. So you see, Elimelech was in a land that is known as the land of bread, Bethlehem. Bethlehem is called the land of bread. But something happened in Bethlehem. There was famine in the land. And due to the famine, he leaves Bethlehem to a land that God had instructed them not to even marry from. He leaves Bethlehem to a land that does not obey and serve the God of Israel. So goes to Bethlehem, all in greener pastures. Something happens. While he was at Bethlehem, the Bible says, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now, they also did something that was contrary to the will of God. And what was that? They married women from Moab. Now, we know the story of Moab, church, right? Do we know the story of Moab? Okay, if you go to Genesis, the story of Moab is being told when the first daughter of Lot had incest with her father. And so the product of that incest was Moab, the Moabites. And then when the second daughter also did the same, the product of that incest was the Ammonites. So as a result of this sacrilege, God specifically commanded the children of Israel not to marry from there. And then the Moabites were very famous for their gods. So we see that in this man's move of desperation, he goes out of the will of God. And what does this remind us as Christians? That sometimes before we take a move, we should always run to God and ask for his leading. Amen. We should always ask for the leading of the Lord. We should always ask the Lord, is it your will that I lead? Is it your will that I take the step? Is it your will that I engage in this business? As a Christian, we can do nothing outside the will of God. So this man takes a decision on himself, by himself, I mean to say, and leaves a land of bread to a land where God had instructed them not to even marry from. And then calamity broke out. So we see the price of disobedience. And that's why the Bible told us that do what? Obedience is better than what, church? Than sacrifice. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. So they took wives from that land, and one of the women married Mahlon, the senior son, called Ruth, and then the other married Chilion, called Orpah. So this is where the story of Ruth and Orpah started from. Amen. So for your further reading, you could also look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 30, and Deuteronomy, and Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which speaks of the acceptable will of God. As a father, even in your family, if you want to make a decision, inquire from God first. One of the challenges that Lot faced, it's not because Lot was not a righteous man, but because he did something. What did he do? Pitched his tent. The Bible says he pitched his tent close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you cast your mind back, you remember that before Lot pitched his tent close to Sodom and Gomorrah, when it was time for him to depart from Abraham, Lot looked at the land and saw that it was what? It was green. And so he said, oh, this land is green, so I can go there. But little did he know that where was looking green to him was very close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so when destruction came on Sodom and Gomorrah, it also affected him as well. So at every point of our lives, we should always be led by God. We should always go back to God for his leading. So one of the things I want us to also look at as we look at the Ruth's journey to new beginning is that let's look at Naomi's journey back home. So the Bible says that then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. What do we see here? Elimelech left when there was famine. He didn't inquire from God. He didn't remember that the God he is serving is a God that never forsakes his people. He didn't remember that seasons don't last forever. That there is famine today does not mean there will be no harvest tomorrow. So what Elimelech did was he focused on the season of famine, forgetting that there is also a season of harvest. And then when he died, the next thing we see here is that his wife heard that God had done what visited his people. Because that is the living God we are serving. That is the God we are serving. We are serving a God that never forsakes his people. So, as we look through this character study, I want you to reflect on your life. I don't know what season you are right now in your life, but I want you to be reminded that seasons will change. There was a time we were all wearing cardigans and sweaters to church. Am I right? We were all wearing heavy sweaters to church and winter jackets. But as I look across the entire congregation, I see almost everyone is wearing something light. Because we are in summer season now and it's hot. So seasons will always change. Don't judge your life by one particular season. Don't make decisions of your life based on one particular season. So Naomi heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. And so she decided to return back to Bethlehem. So what do we see? That God never forgets his children. Isaiah chapter 49. It says, even though a mother would forsake her suckling child, that I will do what? I will not forsake you. And then the next thing we see is God's faithfulness to his children. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20, 21, and 22, the Bible says his faithfulness never comes to an end. There are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. His faithfulness is new every morning. And then one of the things I want us to also see in Naomi's journey back home is that there is always room to return home. There is always room to return home. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, that when he came to his senses, he did what? He started the journey back home. You know, when he was leaving, this is the story of the prodigal son, church. When he was leaving, the Bible says he went to the far country. So we don't know how far the country was. What we only know, what the writer says, that he went to a far country. So you can imagine his journey from the far country back home. He had to go through the cold in the night. He had to go through the heat in the day. But the most important thing for that young man was that he was going back home. He was going back home. So there's always room. There's always room to return home. You might not know what is in store for you home. You might not know what God has kept for you there. You might not even know what the future might look like if you return home. But I'm telling you this morning, there is always room to return home. Even in our Christian walk with God, there is always room to return home. So let's look at something very important. While I was going to, please look into your Bibles. We are at Ruth chapter 1. We are now looking at from verse 10. Look into your Bibles. So while I was going through this character study of Ruth, I discovered that there's something very significant that I want us to highlight. And that's the story of these two ladies, Orpah and Ruth. Now the Bible says, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Verse 12, she also tells them, turn back my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, If I should have a husband tonight and should also get sons, amen. What I want us to look at in this passage of the Bible is that two women made the decision to follow Naomi home, Orpah and Ruth. But this is the interesting thing about the decision they made. While they were going back home, Naomi kept trying to discourage them from joining her back home, because she knows that these two ladies in our introduction, we spoke of Moabites, that the Israelites were not even allowed to marry from them. So what's the future if they join her to Bethlehem, sir? It looks like there is no future if they join her to Bethlehem. So she kept trying to discourage them. Don't worry, go back. You have your life. You're still very young. I'm old. But while the both of them made the decision to follow her home, surprisingly, as en route Bethlehem, one of them made the decision to go back. Orpah, she made the decision to go back. And funny enough, that was the end of Orpah's story in the Bible. Nowhere was her name ever mentioned again in the Bible. The moment she made that choice to go back. And sometimes our Christian walk is like that. We hear the sermon on Sundays. Our hearts are touched. We walk to the altar and surrender our lives to Christ. But the moment we leave the church, and then we are faced with trials and temptations, we forget the commitment we've made at the altar. We look back like Orpah. We look back like Lot's wife. We become scared. God is not doing this thing I've been praying for. We move with desperation. God is doing this thing I've asked for. And today we are asking ourselves the question, are you Orpah or are you Ruth? Can you ask somebody beside you this morning? Ask someone seated beside you, are you Orpah or are you Ruth? Are you Orpah or are you Ruth? God help us. May God help us to be Ruth. Amen. So, one other thing I want us to also look at in our character study of Ruth is that, you know, in our key verse, Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, Ruth finally made a decision that I won't go back. I've seen a God you're serving. I've experienced the God you're serving. And that God, I want it to be my God. And so after Ruth had made that decision, we see that a new beginning is always possible. With man, it may look impossible, but with God, all things are what? Possible. So after Ruth had made that decision, Ruth went back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And something interesting happens. When Naomi went back to Bethlehem, and the women of the city came to greet her, they said, is this not Naomi who left complete? Who left with her entire family? And then Naomi, as human beings, said, don't call me Naomi. Call me what? Mira. For God has done what? Dwelt with me so badly. Dwelt with me so badly. But little did she know that there was something, there was a grand plan for her. There was something God had orchestrated for her. So when Ruth went back home, we see a very interesting story that she didn't just go back home and consider herself a foreigner. When Ruth went back home, she began to serve. And so she went to one of the fields that was owned by a man called Boaz. And right there, she began to serve. She began to serve. She didn't just go back home and fold her arms. She didn't just go back home and expect everything to be all rosy. No! The young girl went back home and she began to serve. And then we see this meeting between Ruth and Boaz. The Bible says, when Boaz came from Bethlehem and he saw her, he asked his servant, who is that damsel over there? And then they told him everything about Ruth. And Boaz was moved with compassion. So in summary, I want us to just see a few lessons that so far we have learned from Ruth joining back home. And one of those lessons is trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God. You see, Ruth's journey back home is more spiritual than just physical. It wasn't just a physical journey for her to walk from Moab to Bethlehem. It was more spiritual. More spiritual in the sense that she trusted God. She trusted God with her future. I don't know what is in store for me in the city of Moab. I don't know what is in store for me in the country, China, but I can trust God. Amen. So the next thing we see is loyalty. And how do we see Ruth's loyalty? That loyalty is in Ruth surrendering herself to be mentored. Surrendering herself to be mentored by Naomi. One of the challenges we are faced with the current church is that we lack mentors and mentees. And if you're a woman here, I want to speak to you from the depth of my heart. Please find a young lady to mentor. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. It says, older women do what? Amen. Okay, let's open our Bibles. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Can we open our Bibles, please? I want a woman to read for us. Amen. Who's there? I want a woman to read for us. Let's pause from Ruth. It's very important that we get this message about mentorship. Because Ruth would never have gone this far if she didn't have good mentorship from Naomi. The Bible spoke of a woman called Deborah in the Bible. But you see, when you look at the story of Deborah, there's also a very young woman that most of us don't really know of. But she did something that kings could not do. And her name is Jael. Judges chapter 4. Her name is Jael. True wisdom, the Bible says, she drew a sledge in the head of the king, Sisera. But how was Jael able to do that? It was because she saw a woman called Deborah. She saw a woman called Deborah doing more than that. So we cannot overestimate the place of mentorship. Mentorship is very important. And I want to encourage you. Please find a woman, find a younger girl to mentor. We need godly mentors in our society. And then the next thing we see about Ruth is faith in God. If you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, there's something I love about that scripture. It says, now. The writer did not say tomorrow. The writer did not say yesterday. The writer said what? Now. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So at every point of your journey through life, you should always have strong faith in God. Your faith should always be present. Amen. So we see humility. Like I said, Ruth did not just go back to Bethlehem and decided to fold her arms. She served. She went to the field of Boaz and she began to serve. And it was at that place of service that Boaz saw her and had compassion on her. And then lastly, we see integrity. There's something Boaz said about Ruth. He said, for the men of the city have spoken so highly of you. Integrity. As a woman, one of the things that you should hold closely to you is integrity. As a Christian, one of the things we should hold so dearly to us is integrity. Even in business. Amen. So as we look through the story of Ruth, one of the highlights I want us to see is that after Ruth had met with Boaz, so something very interesting happens. Now the Bible says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? He's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And she replied, all that you say I will do. So Ruth goes in the night. We are almost rounding up this morning. So Ruth goes in the night to Boaz's room in an attempt to get married, remarried as a young girl. And then when she met with Boaz that night, something interesting happened. When Boaz discovered it was Ruth who was with him that night, he said, no, don't worry, young girl, I won't touch you. I've heard about you. The men of the city have spoken so well about you. But wait for tomorrow. I would find your redeemer. So we see the incidence of things playing out. This young girl lives all the way from Moab. She goes to the town called Bethlehem. She didn't know that there was going to be a redeemer that was going to be there waiting for her. So we see one of the highlights of Ruth's story here is that Ruth really trusted God, even not knowing how the end was going to be like. She trusted God. So the next morning, something interesting happens. Boaz calls everybody in the city, and he called the closest relative, as it was in those days. This is for your further reading, Leviticus 25, verse 5 to 55. God told them of the need of why they should redeem somebody from your kindred. Amen. So as Boaz, in his wisdom, calls the closest relative to Ruth, to Naomi, and he says, okay, you're going to buy the portion of Elimelech's land, and in buying the portion of Elimelech's land, you're also going to marry Ruth. And so the man that was supposed to do that job of redeeming her says, no, he can't do it. And it was at that point where Boaz stepped in, and he now redeemed her. Amen. So one interesting thing I want us to see as we draw it close to Ruth's story is that our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, lives. You might be going through tough times. You might be going through difficulties, but this is our consolation. This is a reminder to us as we look at Ruth's story that our Redeemer is alive. You know, for Ruth needed to be redeemed with money. Ruth needed to be redeemed with money, possession. But as regards to our Redeemer, as regards to the one who has redeemed you and I, he did it with something more precious than money. He did it with his blood. Can we read Peter chapter 1? Let's read it together, church. 1, 2, go. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Can we read verse 19 together, church? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots. So we see that this young girl who left Moab, little did she know that there was something in store for her. Little did she know that the God who never forsake his own had planned her redemption. And it's the same for you and I. We're being held down by sin. We're being held down by depression. We're being held down by every scheme of the devil. But on that precious day, he went to the cross. He didn't go to the cross for any other activity, but he went to the cross to redeem you and I. So I want you to bow your head. Let's spend some moments and pray this morning. I don't know what you must have heard from Ruth's journey, but I want you to be encouraged this morning that your Redeemer lives. So it doesn't matter how long you must have been going through that sickness, how long you must have been going through that pain. Your encouragement this morning should be your Redeemer lives. And so I want you to bow down your heads and begin to pray and ask the Lord, is there an area of your life you're in need of a Redeemer? For this young, beautiful lady, she was in need of a redeemer. She was in need of a redeemer. Is there an area of your life? Is there an area of your life you need the redeemer? I want you to talk to God this morning. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. He bore your sickness on that fateful day when he went to the cross. Talk to God this morning. Talk to God this morning. I don't know your walk with God. I don't know how the journey has been for you so far. But I've come to announce to you that your Redeemer lives. I've come to announce to you this morning that your Redeemer lives. It doesn't matter what must have been going through in your life. It doesn't matter how long you must have gone through it. But this morning, if your faith can rise to that point of that young girl, Ruth, what are you trusting God for this morning? What are you trusting God for this month? In this month of August, what are you trusting God for? This message is coming as a reminder to you that your Redeemer lives. No scheme of help, no plan of the enemy will pluck you from his hands because he loves you. Because he cares about you. Talk to your Redeemer this morning. Is it in your Christian walk? You rise and you fall like Orpah. You look back at some point. Talk to God this morning to strengthen you. Talk to your Redeemer this morning to strengthen you. The Holy One of Israel. Talk to him this morning. And in case you're yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to make a commitment this morning. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, it says, with your heart, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. How can you be found by your Redeemer if you don't walk towards him? If you don't take that bold step towards him. As I invite our pastor, Pastor Perry, to pray for us, in case you're here, you want to make that firm commitment. You want to stand like Ruth and say, today I've made a decision. I want you to take that bold step and walk to the altar. Please, let's bow down our heads. This is a Kairos moment for someone. You're here, you want to make that firm decision. You want to take that bold stand like Ruth. You want to take that bold stand in your Christian walk. You want to say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I no longer want to look back like Orpah. I no longer want to look back like Lot's wife. But I want my name to be written in the book of life. I want my name to be remembered like the name of Ruth. You're here, God is speaking to you this morning.
Amen. We continue to pray, even as we trust the Lord to touch our heart and help us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, O Lord, for the reminder that we can always come home. We thank you for the reminder that you are our Redeemer, redeeming us with your precious blood. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen.